Halloween is tomorrow, and on top of all the normal fun, it also marks the end of International Bat Week. The week celebrates the role that bats play in their ecosystem. But in North America, bat populations have continued to suffer from a fatal disease called white nose syndrome. It was first spotted in Wisconsin about 5 years ago, and our colleagues at WisContext have been looking at how it's progressed in the state since then. Central Time producer Rachel Vasquez talked about it with WisContext associate editor Will Cushman earlier today.
Well, remind us what white nose syndrome is and how it affects bats.
Sure. Yeah, white nose syndrome is the term described, or the term that scientists use to describe this disease in bats that's caused by a fungus. It's an invasive fungus. It comes from Eurasia, scientists are pretty sure. And it appeared in New York State in 2006. In bats around in caves around Albany, New York. And it since then has spread west across pretty much all of eastern North America. It made its way to Wisconsin in 2014. The fungus is called Pseudogymnoscus destructens. Hopefully I pronounced that pretty accurately. But yeah, destructens was the term that scientists landed on because of its really destructive power. It has really decimated the populations of several bat species across North America, including in Wisconsin.
And do we know, we mentioned that we're about 5 years into understanding that it's here in Wisconsin too. Do we know how big of an effect it has had on bat populations here?
Yeah, it's had a major effect on several species. One of those species is the little brown bat. So there's little brown bats and big brown bats. There's four species in Wisconsin that hibernate in caves. And it's those species that are affected by white nose syndrome because the fungus that causes the disease grows really well in cold environments like the caves that bats hibernate in. And little brown bats and big brown bats are two of those species. Little brown bats have been affected pretty significantly. Big brown bats, not as much. Scientists believe that is partially because of their habits. Big brown bats are more likely to hibernate in buildings than little brown bats or other hibernating species. So they might just not come into contact with this fungus as much. And then there's a couple other species, the northern long-eared bat and the tricolored bat, which have also been significantly impacted. And the northern long-eared bat, in particular, scientists are using the word potential extinction when talking about that bat, not just in Wisconsin, but across North America.
And there are some bats, from reading your piece, that have at least not been affected as much, right, along rivers in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so that's a really good point. Even little brown bats, which have generally been found to be significantly impacted by white nose syndrome, to the point where, like, there is the initial site where white nose syndrome was discovered in Wisconsin, in Grant County in the southwest part of the state. That site included historically up to 1,000 bats, and most of those being little brown bats. And within 4 years of the fungus's discovery there, so by 2018, there were only 9 bats hibernating there versus the historical average of 1,000. But yeah, you're right. There are some. They're called hibernacula. That's a technical term for sites where bats hibernate, which in Wisconsin includes caves. It also includes abandoned mine shafts. There's a lot of old lead mining shafts left over from the 19th century, especially in the southwest part of the state where bats hibernate, and then also buildings. But yeah, there are a couple sites along the Mississippi River and the Wisconsin River where these little brown bats, for some reason, are able to persist in relatively high numbers. The DNR and scientists are trying to kind of figure out why that is, because they think the hope is that if they can figure out why certain populations are able to persist, that they could potentially help out other populations elsewhere.
And you mentioned this fungus that researchers are now thinking is linked to white nose syndrome. They didn't always think that it was linked, right?
Yeah, initially, this was really interesting. I talked to a microbiologist at the National Wildlife Health Center here in Madison. It's a USGS center, so it's the United States Geological Survey. His name is Jeff Lorch, and he did his PhD work at UW-Madison around the time that white-nose syndrome was appearing out east in New York State and then expanding. And the focus of his PhD work was largely trying to figure out like what was involved in white-nose syndrome and how this fungus could be so destructive. And he said, yeah, that in the beginning there was quite a bit of debate in the scientific community about whether or not this fungus was actually causing the disease or was maybe just a symptom of some other disease or some environmental issue that was impacting the bats. But some of the work that Jeff did was pretty definitive in identifying that specific fungus as the causative agent, the reason behind this disease.
We're talking to Will Cushman, an associate editor at WisContext, about bats and white nose syndrome, now that we're about 5 years after the disease was discovered in Wisconsin. And Will, one of the other strange parts of this disease is that it sounds like the fungus doesn't have an effect on bats in Europe or Asia, right? Just in North America?
Yeah, and so that's one of the things that scientists are trying to figure out, like why. It's definitely an invasive fungus, so it does not occur or historically had not occurred naturally in North America. So the thought is that North American bats didn't co-evolve with this fungus, were not exposed to this fungus before, like their Eurasian counterparts had been for a long time. Scientists still don't understand exactly why Eurasian bats aren't susceptible to the fungus, but the fact that it's invasive here in North America, I think, is a pretty significant clue.
The researcher that you mentioned, Jeff Lorch, he now works at a place called the National Wildlife Health Center, and that's right here in Madison. What's their role in all of this?
They have a really pretty significant role nationally. I had no idea that this center existed in Madison until I started reporting on the story this summer. And yeah, the center is on the west side of Madison, and they have a nationally significant role in identifying and studying all sorts of wildlife diseases. And so because of that, the center received specimens of dead bats, like going back to the very beginning in 2006 when they were 2006, 2007, when they were first found dead in New York State. The center here in Madison received samples, and it was scientists here in Madison, along with colleagues elsewhere in the country, but headed up by scientists here at that center in Madison, who first identified and described the fungus that causes white nose syndrome. So I thought that was a really interesting and fascinating part of the story that I think a lot of people in Madison and Wisconsin don't know.
Yeah, and I know that you've got a couple more stories coming out on this, one related to a lot of the volunteer efforts around this issue.
Yeah. So the DNR has been super proactive in the face of white nose syndrome since before it was found here in the state in 2014. I think pretty soon after white nose syndrome was discovered in New York and after scientists and conservation biologists, wildlife managers all across the country started realizing that this was a really big problem and it was likely not going to remain in New York on the East Coast, the Wisconsin DNR really became proactive and started counting bats using all sorts of different methods. I shouldn't say that they started, but they really ramped up their efforts. And a lot of those efforts include really dedicated and enthusiastic volunteers, so citizen scientists who participate in, for instance, the Great Wisconsin Bat Count every summer, where volunteers, hundreds of volunteers, go to known bat roosting sites all over the state and count bats as they leave their roosts. They do that twice a year, once before pups can fly and once after pups can fly. And there are all sorts of other efforts that the National Park Service is involved in up at the Apostle Islands. So, yeah, I'm going to get into those efforts. I think they're really fascinating and a kind of optimistic part of the story.
Awesome. And in our last few minutes, I know you've got one more story looking at efforts to find a vaccine for white nose. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this was also really interesting and involved scientists at the National Wildlife Health Center. They're working with researchers at UW-Madison to develop, potentially a vaccine for white nose syndrome. This is a huge challenge because fungal vaccines are really difficult to develop in the first place for any species, for humans even. And then trying to, even if they are successful, they're actually onto a pretty promising potential vaccine. But even if they get to the point where they think that they can deploy it in the field, actually being able to deploy this vaccine will be logistically very, very challenging.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for those. Thanks so much, Will.
Thank you.
That was Will Cushman, Associate Editor for WisContext, talking to Central Time producer Rachel Vasquez. If you want to read more about their reporting on white nose syndrome and other bat-related topics, you can find that online at WisContext.org.